This guest has been highly anticipated on this channel.
This guest has been highly anticipated on this channel.
Everybody has been asking for this collaboration.
Y'all, everybody's been asking for this.
Welcome to the Josh Carr Show.
Joshua Carr, welcome to the Tamara Neely Show.
Let's go. We made it happen.
We finally made this happen. We know that you guys have been asking for this collaboration for the past, at least 2 to 3 months. Y'all know that Joshua Carr and I have done an investigation into Candace Owens, and people were like, wow, these two young people are really making an impact, and we appreciate you guys for that. So it was about time that we did this.
This is exciting too. For those of you who don't know, me and Tamara have both been running our channels for like almost exactly 3 years now, and we have almost the exact same amount of followers. So we're like lockstep, and it's both of our birthdays this week as well. So it's like perfect timing. We're here together. We're going to talk about all kinds of crazy Candace Owens stuff. Why don't you start with the big news of the week, Tamara?
Okay, sounds good. So Laura Loomer says that she's not afraid of Candace Owens. And I'm sure maybe some of you have heard, maybe some of you have not, but we're about to hear what she had to say, and then Josh and I are going to react to it. So let's get into it, I guess.
Let's do it.
She wants to do. I'm not afraid of Candace Owens. There's really honestly nothing that this woman can do to me. There's nothing that Candace Owens can say about me that's going to harm me. Candace Owens is a liar, okay? And she's a deeply insecure woman who is very unloved at the end of the day. This is a woman who is allegedly in a relationship with a gay man who is always going to feel the rejection of her family, the rejection of her mother, the rejection of her family that she claims left her alone when she was 14 years old, right, to fend for herself. This is a girl whose parents gave up on her at a very young age, and she is not loved. And as I said, God hates you, Candace. God hates you.
All right. I'm curious what you think about this, because I feel like this is a little controversial in my opinion. I think she got some things right, some things wrong. What do you think?
Okay. So my honest take on this is I know that Laura Loomer has watched my channel. That's first of all, I want to say that. And the reason why I say that is because of certain things she was saying. When she was mentioning certain things about Candace Owens' childhood and how it relates to, you know, who she is today, I knew right away, okay, clearly Laura has watched the channel and she knows what I investigated Candace Owens. My thing is though, I did a little bit of research on scripture because I wanted to understand, like, what does God's word say about this? Because obviously Laura did say some very controversial things. She said that everybody hates Candace, that God hates Candace, and more, obviously. So I looked it up. I was like, I went to Google and I said, does God hate people? Because I wanted to hear, like, what does the Bible say about this? Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the extortion which speaketh unto you unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastises, and scorneth every son whom he receiveth. So obviously God corrects those he loves. And mm-hmm. When I heard what was said in Psalms, I was like, that is really interesting. But then again, that's why Jesus Christ came to save us. And in Matthew 5:44, we see that it says, one second, please. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So clearly, obviously, it does kind of come back to the, you know, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. You know, it's not our job to hate anybody. Now, what God said in his word doesn't lie. So if he said what he said, that's about God. But he also gives us commandments as people, and we're not to hate one another. We're supposed to love each other. And I think that when it comes to what Laura Loomer was saying, I just think that needs to be added to the conversation. I don't hate Candace Owens. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate even the people who don't like me. I don't hate them. I love them because at the end of the day, I'm called to love my enemies.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do like the scripture that it says that God hates their soul. I feel like what that means is that God ultimately has judgment over their soul. And, you know, people all the time are like, don't judge. You're commanded not to judge. But the reality is we are commanded to judge all the time. We're just not supposed to make any sort of final judgment on people's souls. That obviously is only the God, only the job of Jesus Christ. And so I do think you're right that this is a fundamental shift of what is God's role versus our role. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of tricky because all these people, your audience, my audience, ourselves, we want to call out Candace Owens. We have to call her out and still, I think, remind everyone we have like a Christ-like love for her.
Right.
And I think Laura Loomer, you know, missed that a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know, I get it. She seemed to be very angry and upset, but you can be angry but sin not. You know, like you have to kind of manage your anger because we know that in the Bible, like it talks about how it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. Like it's because he's so kind and we need to be kind because those are the fruits of the Spirit so that more people can come to know him. And so I think that maybe there was some rage baiting involved in some of those statements because they would get reactions. And that's kind of what a lot of people do in the conservative movement is kind of in the left, on the left too. And Jeremy Bowen has kind of talked about this a little bit too, where, you know, people know what to say to get a reaction and the right is good about that as well. But you have to have a moral compass about yourself. You know, you need to have morality. And I totally agree with what you said, Josh. It's more so about like God judging their soul, you know, finally, and not so much. We don't need to judge them as far as their final destination. That's between them and God. You know, my mom always said, you don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. And I totally agree with that. And so mm-hmm. That's kind of how I live for sure.
Yeah, I think that's great. Speaking of Laura Loomer, she came out with something else I want to show you. And I'm going to read it for those who maybe are just listening and they're not watching us. But she posted this about someone named Ryan. And this person came up in my investigation of Candace Owens. So I'm curious if you had any connections to this. But let me read it first for people, because actually this is quite a big deal and hits at the core of both of our investigations. She said, Candace Owens was living with a man named Ryan, who she was dating for 7 years when she came home one day and told him she was engaged to George Farmer. How is she a devout Catholic? 2 weeks before she was engaged to George Farmer, she was living in Philadelphia with Ryan and her cat. She was planning to marry Ryan. Then she met George, and 2 weeks later, she was engaged to him because he had more money than Ryan. Don't let her tell you she's some devout Catholic. She's for the streets. Ryan was her Republican boyfriend who converted her from Democrat to Republican by helping her make videos under the username Red Pill Black. How do I know? Because Candace invited me to dinner with her and Ryan in Connecticut multiple times in 2017. She goes on, says she is a social climber, will say and do anything for money and fame, including abandon a man she spent 7 years with for a lady like Brit with a trust fund and rich daddy. Isn't that right? At the Lord Farmer, please tell us why you don't follow your daughter-in-law on X. So this is interesting. I knew about Ryan and I tried to get a hold of him several times throughout my investigation. I knew people who knew him because I wanted to get to the bottom of this supposed change from being left wing to right wing. And I wanted to get to the bottom of how true it was that they were already dating when she met George Farmer, because I think that will even more solidify the fact that they had a business marriage rather than some sort of a romantic connection. And there are people who are so terrified to talk to me about Ryan. And I got very close to talking to him myself, but people were too afraid of what Candace Owens would do. So I'm curious if that came up in your investigation or what your reaction to Laura Loomer's tweet about this was.
Now, that did not come up in my investigation, but I'm not surprised whatsoever. I think that a lot of times when women change their belief systems, a lot of times it has to do with a man in their life. It's just the reality of, you know, how we're created and what we typically do. I remember when I started really going deeper into conservative politics and things like that, I never had like I guess, dinner table conversations with my family about politics or anything like that. But when 2020 happened, my family became interested and we started, you know, watching Brandon Tatum and Candace Owens and all these other people, you know, who were sharing the truth about COVID and, you know, all the things that were happening. And I remember I had somebody in my life who really influenced me, a guy in my life, and he, I guess, like helped me to see, you know, conservative views and accept those. And, you know, he really challenged me to be a better person. So I don't necessarily think I'm surprised by that as far as, you know, she had somebody who helped her. But it does surprise me that she was living with this man for 7 years and, you know, they were not married. And all of a sudden she meets George Farmer and 2 weeks later she's engaged to him and she leaves this guy for George Farmer. Like, okay, if did you really love that guy or were you using him as a come up and then also using George as a come up? I don't know. I'm not sure. That's my take on it. I'm not surprised about the first part about, okay, I was dating this guy. He had a lot of common sense. And I started listening to him, but I'm surprised about the latter part.
Yeah, I just want to get a hold of him so bad. I'm guessing Laura Loomer had some of the same contacts as me, and that's why she released what she released. It's just tough because on one hand, and I'm sure you dealt with this in your investigation, it's like, I want to just release everything that I can about Candace. On the other hand, it's like, I just want clarity and I want to put out something that I know for certain. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the time when you've got, like, Candace has done a really good job where she is so willing to just say whatever she wants about these people. She'll dox them. She'll call them, you know, say that they did illegal things that they never did, that these people have just clammed up. And so we're left with like these little pieces around that we have to pick up and try to put together, because no one's actually willing to tell us the truth.
Right, right. And I think what one thing that Laura Loomer did get right is she said that she's not afraid of Candace. And I think that, you know, we shouldn't live in fear of anybody but the Lord himself, you know? So I just think that the fact that so many people are afraid is alarming, because this is how this these false narratives continue to be spread around the country and around the world about what happened to Charlie and, you know, Erica and Turning Point USA. It's because people are not speaking up. And so, I mean, when it comes to investigating her, it is difficult to get in contact with certain people because people are literally living in fear. And that needs to stop. If you are a person who knows information about Candace that could help us with our investigation and obviously doing so in good faith, then come forward. I mean, there's no reason to hide or to not share what you know, because it could help somebody else. And I think that's what Josh and I have been literally trying to do since the beginning, is help the public understand who we're dealing with. And, you know, I think that our investigations have been so extensive and informational to the point where it's like, you shouldn't be afraid anymore because you now see more of who you're dealing with. So you should be disarmed. Like, you should, you know now. So there's no reason to live in fear.
Yeah, it's so important to your point too, because when I understand these people are maybe afraid of Candace Owens doing bad things to them, but she's already doing bad things to other people who don't deserve it. And so by not coming forward and not talking, you're essentially like putting all of that burden onto Erica Kirk, for example. And yeah, so I just hope people will step forward as well. I hope Ryan, you know, if he's got a story to tell about her, will step forward along with some others that, you know, I've tried to talk to who just won't really talk to me. But should we move on to the next piece of news this week?
Yeah, before we move on, though, I do want to say that I do think you've done a great job by reaching out to so many people, including the person who knew Erica, who knows Erica, who's her best friend. You were able to get that person to speak out, you know, and I think she spoke on one other person's podcast. But I mean, you've been doing a great job really talking to people and trying to get a hold of even Candace's tip line person who runs that. And, you know, I saw all of that. So I know exactly the effort that you've been putting in. And I think you've been doing a great job. You know, I just say, give it to God. You know, we're going to do the best we can, but at the end of the day, what happens happens, you know? So, that's why we need the public support, you know, just like Candace has the public support when it comes to her tip line and what she's doing. We need people who watch our shows to, you know, share what they know as well. Don't be afraid. That's how people, you know, evil continues to kind of like go throughout the world and the country is because people are afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. So,
well, it seems Candace has a new smoking gun in the case against Erica Kirk and in favor of Tyler Robinson. She came out, said, this is for my audience, Tamara, obviously you already know this, but she came out, said that she has some leaked photo from Tyler Robinson's grandparents saying he didn't do it. He was framed. We actually have that audio from her show. So let's play that really quick.
They did a crappy photo.
This is nice.
Yeah. what are you guys for Tyler? What are you for Tyler on the other side?
Grandparents.
Oh, your grandparents? Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry you're going through this.
Yeah, it's tough for you guys.
Yeah, it sucks. We're here to support them.
So. Yeah. We think your grandchild like is absolutely brave, but. I'm an investigative journalist. So
well, I didn't see him.
Man, you know, you're gone. Like, I can tell you that you're very right.
Do you know who that investigative journalist was, by the way? I tried looking into it. I couldn't figure it out.
No, I saw her face, but I haven't looked into who she is just because I just celebrated my birthday yesterday and I'm just now catching up on the news as far as what's going on this week. And she's a new face to me. So I don't know exactly who she is. Do you?
No, I really don't. And so I'm trying to figure out what their motivations and their incentives are. But I just think this is interesting. This is a really good example of what Candace Owens does. She brings together these kind of ancillary details about something. It's true that's what happened. I mean, it seems like those are Tyler Robinson's grandparents saying that. But it's like, that's not proof of anything. And you've got her followers seeing this and being like, well, his grandparents said so, so it must be true, you know?
Right. I mean, that was my first reaction is like, okay, what does this change about what's happening? How does this change anything? Like, I mean, either way, they have a lot of evidence against Tyler Robinson. They're saying they have so much evidence against Tyler Robinson that they only needed one day's worth of footage from UVU because that's how much evidence they have on Tyler Robinson. They didn't need the rest of the 29 days that they could have looked through because there's a mountain of evidence against him. Assassinating Charlie Kirk. And my thing is that Tyler Robinson's parents turned him in. Now, even if Candace Owens wants to make it seem like, oh, well, he was pressured into being turned in. Well, it was either they were going to walk him in the police precinct and he was going to walk in with no handcuffs, which is what he requested. He said he would come in freely if he wasn't handcuffs and his family could sit there with him until he was arrested. And they handled this situation delicately. I remember what happened. And he ended up going in willingly. It doesn't matter how he went in. The fact is that he went in because he knew he was caught. So I don't want to hear that, oh, well, you know, he was forced to do it. I don't care. You just assassinated Charlie Kirk. If it were me, you would have been brought in another way. Let's just say that. Yeah. So I think that they were very nice to him, probably too nice. But they had been searching for so long. They had been searching for 36 hours or 33 hours or something. And so they were just happy that finally they found the guy. The family knew exactly who did it and they brought him in.
The thing is too, a lot of people don't understand this. So this happened in St. George, which is a place that I've been to many times because I live about 4 hours from there. And my grandparents live there. I have family there. And I was actually in St. George. It is crazy. I was here about 3 minutes from UVU when the shooting took place. And then I was in St. George when they arrested Tyler Robinson, which I'm not there that often, but my family lives down there. So, but for context, St. George is a tiny place. Like, it's not a large city. It's very tight knit. People would have known who Tyler Robinson was. And so part of the rationale behind the parents taking him in was exactly what you're saying, which is that all the neighbors knew it was him. Everybody, these are tight-knit communities, would have seen his face or even just like a semblance of his face. It doesn't even need to be like his exact face. And they would have known who it was because just our communities are very tight here in Utah and especially in St. George, where it's a very small place. I think technically they're even in a smaller suburb of St. George. So people would have known who he was. So the parents did that because they knew there would be people and cops coming to the door any minute. This was not going to be some drawn out thing where in a week or 2 weeks, maybe he would get away with it or wouldn't. He was going to get busted like any hour. And they wanted to do it on their terms. Like you said, that's something that you do when you're guilty, not when you're innocent. When you're innocent, you just stay home.
Right. Exactly.
And, you don't have to go to the police officers.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't understand why Candace is excited about this. Like, that's the part that is really disturbing to me. It's like, why are you excited that a young man's grandfather is speaking out after he assassinated Charlie Kirk? Like, this is the person who the FBI has a ton of evidence against that the Utah Police Department is investigating because there's so much evidence. And you are sitting here excited that the grandfather is saying, oh, my grandson is being framed and this and that. Like, are you really committed to finding out who assassinated Charlie Kirk? Or is there something else going on? Because now people are starting to wonder, did you have something to do with Charlie Kirk's assassination? Like, why are you so excited about this? It just doesn't make sense.
It is weird. Yeah, it's super weird how much she cares about Tyler Robinson getting off. That is super strange to me, because you would think that in her financial incentives, if Tyler Robinson was convicted, but she could still convince a considerable part of her audience that it was a wrongful conviction, that would be enough for her, right? Because she would continue the conspiracy, continue the grift. But it seems like beyond that, and this is, I think, where some of her narcissistic personality comes into play. She has, yes, she's in it for the money, but I do think there is personality traits going on where she truly is starting to convince herself of her own narrative. It's how she's able to lie so well. And so when she sees stuff like this, it's her being proven right in her head. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost a bit of a paradox, because I've had a lot of people on the show ask me about this. It's like, how can she simultaneously be a grifter in it for money, but also be a narcissist who 100% believes this? And it's like, I think both can be true at the same time. I think things can start off as lies where you're just grifting and trying to stretch conspiracies. And then over time, you yourself convince yourself of the lie. I think that's where Candace Owens is at.
Yeah, I totally agree with that for sure.
Well, let's move on. There's another really interesting thing that just came out from Candace Owens. This is from her show. She is really concerned right now that there's going to be a speedy trial. And she does not understand at all why Erica Kirk would want it to be a speedy trial. So let's listen and we'll react.
Codes for victims, which include a victim's right to a speedy trial. Again, that's a state code. So that's how she's able to maneuver that. And I remember when I saw that news, when it broke back in January, I couldn't really comprehend it. It was so atypical to me because common sense, of course, a defendant, okay, doesn't want to be sitting in jail. So a defendant usually wants the trial to be speedy. Rarely do you hear the prosecutions, I'm going to file a thing that I want this to be speedy. The defendant sitting in jail like, yeah, man, me too. I don't want to just like live here. I'd like it to be as fast as possible. So I was wondering, why is Erica needing to assert something that is kind of self-evident, right? Well, now looking at everything and having paid attention to this hearing, it just makes more sense to me. I believe this is fully the prosecution strategy. I believe they do not have a case. I am in contact with many people all throughout the state of Utah, okay? I think they want a show trial. I think Erica's team wants a show trial. They do not want to hand over crucial or critical evidence before the probable cause hearing. Instead, they want to pretend they're being transparent. They want to demand cameras inside of the courtroom and then deliver the show trial, the show hearing of the century, right? With the defense completely unable to meaningfully counter anything that they present.
One night.
So this is interesting. I also have contacts all over Utah. And basically everything she says in that is in direct opposition to it's basically her spinning every single thing in her narrative when in reality it actually goes exactly against her narrative. Mm-hmm. For instance, first off, the prosecutors, as you were talking about, prosecutors have an open shut case. Super easy. They've got it. And it's the exact opposite of what she's saying. They're saying, oh, they just want to rush it along. It is not. It's the fact that it's going to be so simple for them that it's going to be quick because they have irrefutable proof that Tyler Robinson did this. On the other side of it, though, as well, she's very confused. She's essentially accusing Erica Kirk of wanting it to be fast so that it can just be over with and so that they can convict him quickly in a corrupt way. When in reality, Erica Kirk is perfectly logical in wanting it to be fast. She wants justice as fast as possible. She wants the conspiracies dispelled as fast as possible. And frankly, maybe if you're talking about some sort of prison sentence, it makes more sense for it to be drawn out. But he's on trial for the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And so this can be as fast as it's very different than what she's saying. She's making it sound like this is he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life. No, he's going to get the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that Erica Kirk would want that to be as fast as possible.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And also the defense just wants to draw this thing out because they're hoping that something's exactly. going to drop, and there's going to be an error in the case that will get him off of the death penalty. But that's just not going to happen. They have tons of evidence against Tyler Robinson. Now, did he work with somebody else? Possibly, but we don't know that for sure right now. But if that did happen, hopefully we find that part out. If there's more people involved. But as far as what we have now, Tyler Robinson is the guy. And as of now, he's been working alone. But once more people testify, because they say that they have six people who are going to testify. I think it's six people, including Lance, which is Tyler Robinson's, boyfriend. And I believe his parents are going to be on the stand as well. We'll get more information, and I think the truth will come out there, and we'll hear if there's more to this story that we're not even seeing. Because right now they've got all this evidence, and there may be even more that comes out.
And because they're not podcasters, right? Like Candace Owens is acting like, oh, it's so evil that they would keep their data to themselves. It's like prosecutors have to do that in order to have a successful prosecution. They're not podcasters trying to grift the money.
Right, exactly. And of course, if you make a good point, if this is drawn out, then Candace Owens makes even more money off of this case. Yeah. So she's hoping that this just continues and continues because she's in the middle of a lawsuit right now and is probably using the money that she's making off of this quote unquote investigation into who killed Charlie and Charlie Kirk was quote unquote betrayed and all of this. She's using more than likely that money to cover her Bridget McGrone lawsuit.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's so funny. I mean, everything she said in that was wrong, but she spun it to make it more convenient and profitable for her own channel, which is just, it's so crazy that her audience doesn't see right through it because it's just so blatant. I was going to ask you, this is something I've thought a lot about because he's going to have his parents on the stand. We do know that, as you said. We're also going to have Lance on there. Do you think that they're going to perjure themselves and lie? Or do you think we're going to get actually some straight answers from them?
If his parents are like how they were at the beginning, where they were cooperating with the police and they were honest about what they knew as far as, yes, that looks like our family's weapon right there. If they're acting the same way as they were acting then I think they will be honest because they'll know that their community is watching them and they may be afraid that, this would make them look bad knowing that knowing that their son, did this and if they were telling a lie, then it would come out, right? And also to add, the family is also Republican from my understanding. So they're Trump supporters, if I remember right, or something like that. I'll have to go back and make sure to verify that again, but I'm pretty sure that I remember them being Trump supporters, or at least Republican. And so if they do get on the stand, they're going to be embarrassed for sure. And it's going to be bad for them as far as going back home goes. But could they lie? Possibly. Right now it's looking like the grandfather is convinced that Tyler didn't do this. So he's confused and he's like, well, you know, Tyler's innocent and they're framing my grandson. So I'm curious and I'm wondering if his parents believe the same thing. That I don't know. But they could potentially lie. But here's the thing that's interesting to me. When I was listening to Tyler Robinson's lawyer a while back, the lawyer was saying, don't listen to the podcasters and people online. This case is a lot of what they're saying about this case is not true. As far as at the time people were starting to defend Tyler Robinson. So I don't know how this is all going to play out. I don't.
I'm starting to feel a little more optimistic about Lance actually testifying truthfully. And the reason why, I mean, you were kind of alluding to it just a second ago, but it would seem to me the best case of action for Utah is to have a swift conviction of Tyler Robinson. And then, and usually there are appeals to this anyway, but there would be a decent waiting period between him being convicted and receiving the death penalty. And in that amount of time, then you can go in and start looking to see if there are accomplices to this. And so I'm wondering, I'm assuming Lance is going to have some sort of a lawyer. And if that lawyer might be nervous that if Lance were to perjure himself, that they would also be able to prosecute him for that, because that would put you in jail. And so I'm wondering if he may actually testify truthfully, knowing that Tyler Robinson is already going to get the death penalty and knowing that if he perjures himself, he may very well get caught. People don't always get caught for, you know, perjuring themselves. But I actually think in this case, Utah has been very serious about this. I think they want to prosecute as many people as possible when it comes to what happened at UVU.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I also think that if he does get on the stand and lie, I mean, I would hope that the, I guess the lawyers who were on the plaintiff side, I'm not sure what, I can't think right now as far as what they're called in this moment, but you know, the people who are presenting this case, the state, I guess you could say, the state of Utah is going to be able to dispute those lies if Lance is lying on the stand. And they're going to be able to call him out right away. And they're going to ask him so many intense questions and so many direct questions that he's not going to be able to keep up with his lies. That's what I think is going to happen if he does get on the stand and lie.
I agree with you. And to put your mind at ease and our audience's minds at ease, I was a little more nervous about a jury pool getting tainted by Candace Owens' lies. But I do think from what I've been talking to people about and some of the prosecutors and some of the tips that I've been getting is that this case is going to be so, so clear that even if a Candace Owens fan, which frankly, if you look at the general population, it's actually not that many people, you know, but let's say there was a Candace Owens fan that ended up on the jury, the case is going to be so crystal clear that I think a conviction is going to come down no matter what. So that's good news, at least.
Yeah, I think that is good news because we need this foolishness to end. You know, it has gone way too far. And it's time for the truth and the evidence to come out. So that is why I'm supporting what Erica Kirk has asked for, which is a speedy trial. And Candace makes it seem as though, oh, well, you know, it, every trial is speedy. That's not true. And not every trial is speedy. And there are people who are sitting in the Atlanta, Georgia jail waiting to even see a judge. I was just watching Tommy G not too long ago. He's a great YouTuber, and he actually spent some time in that jail as a YouTuber, and he spent the day in the jail or whatever. It's a pretty good episode. Everybody should check it out. I learned a lot about just how life is in jail. Unfortunately, never go there. But he was basically interviewing these guys, and they're telling him, you know, they got caught on a simple marijuana charge or, you know, something simple like that, you know, where they had a little small gram or whatever the case may be. And they were saying that they still hadn't seen a judge, and they're just, they've been sitting in jail for months. So a speedy trial, yes, it's supposed to be guaranteed because the Constitution says it is, but it, that's not always the case. A lot of cases get backed up because there's not enough lawyers to work on the case. public defenders get changed, and next thing you know, they're not a, you know, there's a lot of switching that happens. And so, yeah, I'm glad that Erica Kirk is on top of this, and she's saying, I want this case to be resolved. Let's move forward.
Well, Candace Owens is not the only crazy one. Probably if you're talking about political commentators, she's probably, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's between her and Alex Jones for number one, in my opinion. It's like right there. But Megyn Kelly is also going the way of craziness, unfortunately. And Tamara, I know you have a clip to play for her. So let's take a look at that one.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he's doing this other than he's acting like a cornered animal. You know, when you feel like you're cornered and things are out of control, you lash out. You lash out at your most ardent supporters and treat them like they're the enemy. You lash out at a bunch of Catholics on and immediately after Easter and also Orthodox Easter. And you continue to ratchet up the rhetoric, like saying you're going to do something like bomb Iran's desalinization plants, which he's doing again, raising that as though that would be an acceptable means of upping the ante if he doesn't get what he wants. It's not okay.
Interesting. That was about Trump, by the way, for some context. I guess yeah. I should have given people context first, but it's always about Trump, right? Do you think that there's any truth to what she's saying, especially about maybe some of the comments Trump made about Catholics on Easter?
I think that, to me, it's almost like Megyn Kelly is projecting what she's experiencing onto President Trump, because she's been lashing out. She's been going crazy lately. People started calling her out and saying, hey, Megyn, we would like you to call out Candace Owens. We would like you to say, Candace, what you're doing is wrong. Stop doing it. And Megyn Kelly said no. She doubled down. She said that she was supporting it because she was genuinely interested about and wanting to know what Candace was finding out and this and that. And then she's still doubling down on that. So she's losing control. She's losing control of her support. People are saying that I see my comment section and people are telling me that they have liked Megyn. They used to watch Megyn every day and, you know, they really liked her. And now she's lost the plot. So if anybody's losing control, I think it's Megyn Kelly, because when I look at the reports when it comes to President Trump's handling of Iran, even CNN is reporting that 100% of MAGA is still backing President Trump. So please, Megyn, tell me what is actually going on here. Because it looks to me like President Trump's base is still 100% loyal to him.
Yeah, I agree. But what would you explain then? Because her viewers are very high still. You know what I mean? I agree that I'm seeing a lot of anecdotal stuff in my comment section of people saying that they're not with Megyn Kelly, but her show is so popular. Like, how do you explain that?
I mean, you know, I don't know exactly. I don't know the data behind, you know, her show or, you know, what particular videos are trending, you know, for what reason, but she covers a variety of topics. And sometimes even I have watched her show because I'm going to maybe critique something that I saw said on X by her, or, you know, I'm curious to hear what she thinks about, you know, a case, or maybe I'm watching other cases and her video pops up, you know, not the Tyler Robinson case, obviously, but she's covered some other things that are trending. She's always covering trending topics. So, I mean, regardless of if you like her or not, her videos may pop up in your algorithm at some point, because a lot of people have YouTube on autoplay. And so videos are just going and going. And that's how I've seen some of Megyn's content. I don't necessarily look up Megyn Kelly's name unless I'm going because I saw a clip of her on X. And maybe I'll go on her channel and watch, you know, her full take on that so I can obviously react to it. But a lot of times people are just seeing it because she's obviously a famous reporter and commentator. So, but I don't necessarily think that that means that everybody agrees with what she's doing. And, you know, maybe the, yeah, that's my take on it. I don't know. What do you think? Because I can't answer that without, you know, clear data, but that's just my own personal experience.
No, I actually think that's a really good point. I think that when we tend to compare, and I just did this, so I guess I'm complicit in it, but we compare the polling of politicians to the viewers of the commentators. The polling is clear. It's like you said, 100% of MAGA supports Donald Trump. Like 93% of the Republican Party has a high approval of President Trump. But we don't have like an approval rating of Megyn Kelly, really, right? Mm-hmm. And so at least not one that's been done, you know, often enough to be super credible. So we look at the views and we kind of assume that those are people who like her. But you're right, there's probably tons of people who are watching that don't approve. There's also the foreign component. I'm not going to accuse Megyn Kelly of having a foreign bot campaign because I don't know if that's true or not. Could be true, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we severely underestimate how many foreign viewers there are. Right. Especially just, I mean, the internet and iPhones are just everywhere. Like there's no country in the world that doesn't have them now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even for my channel, which I do think is very America focused, like 4% of my audience is from Canada. You know what I mean? And it's like, mm-hmm. that's kind of a lot of people actually. Like really, you know, shout out to my Canadian viewers. But like, it's like a little surprising to me. And so I could imagine Megyn Kelly could be, you know, 2/3 America, but a whole third outside of the US. And that would obviously translate into a lot of views, but not translate into a lot of necessarily like political pull in the US, because every single person that watches you outside of the US, they might be a viewer, but that doesn't mean that they're going to like vote in a US election. Hopefully not. maybe, depending on the voting laws. But I don't know. I think there's a foreign component that's kind of important as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm kind of not surprised by some of, I guess, foreigners watching American shows, because even when I lived in London for a very short period of time studying abroad there, I found myself just like, obviously I'm American, but it's just like, it was a different experience for me. Like when I would watch news happening back home at the time, it was the Carly Russell case that was really trending and everybody was talking about that. I don't know, just watching American news while I was in a different country gave me a unique perspective. And it was just like, wow, like America, like it's just, I don't know, it just changed me in a way, because you realize just how much entertainment we have, how unique we are. People just admire us from afar. And it's so incredible and amazing. And that's why I stand behind President Trump, is because, you know, he understands that America is great. Like, you know, historically, like we are the city on the hill. And I think that so many people should be supporting what President Trump is doing, because he's helping preserve the goodness in our country. He's not perfect by any means. And I've, you know, maybe shared my opinions as far as like some of the things that he said that I haven't agreed with. But I stand with President Trump completely, because I think he's doing an overall good job. So I'm not surprised by other people around the world wanting to watch. And I've met so many Trump supporters who are not even American, who just love President Trump. And they're so grateful for his influence around the world, and so grateful he's gone to Iran and he's helping them and he's helping this person, or help, you know, that people are just grateful all around the world for President Trump.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I was living in Mexico when President Trump had the assassination attempt made on him. And you're right that I was in a pretty small town in Mexico, and just out and about, people knew what was going on. They talked to me about it. And I wasn't necessarily in a super rich place, so it's not like they were, you know, there weren't like TVs everywhere, but they had smartphones. And you're right that they were locked into that. So it would make sense. I'm not even like blaming Megyn Kelly for having a large foreign audience. You know what I mean? I don't even think that's necessarily the worst thing in the world, but it just explains why she gets high views. And yet there's not a lot of people in America that actually would vote the way that she would want to vote.
All right, y'all. So President Trump gave a recent mega speech. Make America great again. Okay. And I want you guys to hear his most recent speech, because I want you to be encouraged. We talked about a lot of things today. We talked about what's happening in the conservative movements. There are people who are literally losing their absolute minds, like Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly. And then we've got some infighting going on. But let's not forget what this is all about. Let's not forget what's coming up, which is the midterms. And we need to make sure that we vote the right people in who care about the values that we care about. So let's watch this clip of President Trump, who is talking about what MEGA stands for and our accomplishments. And I hope this clip encourages you.
Help of our Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we will make America healthy again. We will make America healthy again. He's doing a great job, Bobby, and Dr. Oz is doing a great job. Already we eliminated petroleum-based food dyes, reformed the vaccine schedule, and introduced the real food pyramid. We're cleaning up the whole mess. It's a mess. And to help young people afford a house, we will permanently ban Wall Street from buying up thousands and thousands of single-family homes and taking them off the plate. And we will pass the Save America Act to protect our sacred American election. We're all voters must show voter ID, little things like that. All voters must show proof of citizenship. How about that? Who would think? It's a 97% issue, and the Democrats are holding it back. 97. It's 87% with Republicans and Democrats. So even Democrats want it, but the politicians don't want Democrats, because when you have policy as bad as they have, like men playing in women's sports, transgender for everybody, open borders where people come in totally unvetted, just walk into our country, and criminals all over the world. When you have the only way you can win is to cheat. Really, I really believe that. So they don't want to have voter ID. They don't want to have proof of citizenship. But we'll get it. We're going to get it. And no mail-in ballots except for illness, disability, military, or travel. Mail-in ballots are a big fraud.
All right, let's pause it there. Okay. It is kind of crazy that you can seriously get people with a straight face telling you that Donald Trump is the same as if Kamala Harris had been elected. We're getting that from people on the woke right. And I feel like people like Donald Trump, you know, in that speech, Donald Trump is his best cheerleader, of course, but there's other people too. All they have to do is actually just line it out, and you realize that just could not be further from the case.
Exactly. I totally agree. And like President Trump is getting it, you know, he has accomplished so many things, like closing the border. You know, he's wanting to pass the SAVE Act so that illegals cannot vote in elections, which is so important when it comes, because there's so many illegals here because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And so clearly, obviously, their policies are nowhere near the same. So to hear that is just crazy to me. And I hope that just hearing from President Trump encourages the audience and encourages y'all to really continue to remember what this is all about. When you're in the thick of things, it's so hard to focus in on what really matters. And a lot of things get lost in translation, but in reality, it's all about keeping our conservative movement alive and making America great again. Now, is there going to be some conflict while we're doing that? Absolutely, because there's so many people who are chiming in, trying to share their perspective. They think they're right. They think this person is wrong. A lot of this is going on. But let's remember what the goal is, because that's what's most important, is getting the job done. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, I agree. I want to white pill the nation. You know, I'm sick of the black pillars. Let's actually tell people the truth, which is that America is actually doing very well. We've had problems throughout our entire history. We have problems today. But the reality is we're still the greatest nation on earth. I was listening to the interview between Jeremy Boring and James Lindsay, and they had a really good section, which was at the very beginning, Jeremy Boring was kind of pushing it. James Lindsay saying, yeah, things are going bad in the conservative movement. There's real problems. And James Lindsay kind of fought back and was like, no, actually, I think the conservative movement is really starting to kick out the bad actors. We're seeing a wheat and the tares, if you will, kind of separation right now in the church, but in the conservative movement as well. And I actually think that's a really good thing. I think if you look at it a year or 2 years ago, we were getting complacent. I think today there are more good people standing up than ever. And that's something that should be celebrated. And I think more than ever today, on a kind of slightly different note, if there are people who want to get ahead in life, if they have a vision for their life, whether that has to do with family, marriage, business, economics, religion, they have the power to change and make their own life that way more than any other time in history.
Yes, exactly. Because of America, right? We live in the greatest country on planet Earth. And, you know, it's because of these conflicts that are going on that good people rise up and they fight the good fight. And I'm so grateful that we connected, Joshua Carr. And I just want to say, keep up the great work. You're doing such a great job. I love watching your videos and just how excited you are. Every time you start, you're just like, okay, guys, this is what we have to cover today. But it's how you say it that is just like, I get energized. And I think that President Trump energizes people as well. And when I hear just the truth being shared, and it's just, it's amazing. So I just want to say, keep up the great work.
Thank you. It is contagious. I feel the same way about you. You know, you're smiling even when you're talking about things that are kind of difficult, when you're talking about Candace Owens, who's doing horrible things. The reality is, I think the most true statement ever probably uttered in the universe was, by their fruits you shall know them. And that is so true of our movement. It is so true of Candace and Tucker's movement and Nick Fuentes, all those people. They're miserable. You can see it in their voices. They're always scowling. They're angry. People like us, people like our audiences, we're happy. Even though we're fighting against evil and it can be difficult, we're happy doing it because we know that God is behind us. And that's something we can rally behind and continue to do.
Right. I agree. We're happy, cheerful warriors. That's literally what the Conservative Heart book by Arthur C. Brooks talks about. Conservatives needs to be, conservatives should be happy, cheerful warriors. Like, we need to be excited to share our values because we know that we are on the right side. And so we should be on the offense, not necessarily the defense. Obviously, sometimes we've got to defend our values, but we need our values to be so, we need to make sure that our values are heard so much that, you know, and shared, and people are embracing them so much that it's just overwhelmingly beneficial for, like, everybody's reaping the benefits. And it's a great thing for everybody. So, I'm really excited, and I'm so grateful, just to be an American, to be alive. Happy early birthday to you, Joshua. I just celebrated mine yesterday. So a great week to celebrate life, right? And I'm just so grateful.